This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Coming up later in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to do something we haven't done in a little while, extended crossover with the afternoon guys.
Hey, we get to talk to those guys.
Yep, Spike and Ike and Fritz will join us.
That should be fun.
As it will lead you right into the Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni press conferences around 2 o'clock today. I'm not sure if they'll be prompted to, but whatever, we'll hang out until they are. Maybe they're at a 2, maybe a 201, 202, but those guys will be on with us, and then we'll lead you to Howie and Nick with their first legitimate press conferences in a formal setting since they became Super Bowl champions. So I'm sure a lot will be asked to Howie and Nick, specifically Howie, about the offseason, free agency, this particular draft, which seems to be high on defensive tackles and even running backs. So we'll get to all that and those guys talking at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. All right, before we get back to your phone calls on the tush-push ban that the Packers have presented to the NFL, it sounds like Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Falcons, and Sean McDermott.
A little bit of a hater.
They're both in on this idea. We'll see where this thing goes. I don't think it would appreciably change the Eagles next year. I don't think it'd be that big of a deal. I want to keep it, but I think they could overcome it. Kyle and Hugh think it's a big deal. But here's what we all agree is a big deal. Myles Garrett and his future, where he goes, the Eagles, it rumored to be involved. But listen to this. I mean, this is the strongest thing we've heard so far. Jeremy Fowler today reporting on the Myles Garrett trade situation, where it could go. Listen to how he framed it and how the Eagles could get involved in a huge way.
Tell me why I should be thinking about Myles Garrett on the Eagles.
So way early, I'm connecting some dots here, admittedly, but this is a conversation that some people in the league have had, that the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive teams on the trade market, will be looking for a pass rusher. Josh Sweat, the Super Bowl likely or close MVP, could be out. The expectation is that he will sign elsewhere, so they're going to have a need there. Myles Garrett, they would not want to see him go to the Washington Commanders, for example. If that was to gain traction, Howie Roseman would likely step in, try to make a deal that is too hard for the Cleveland Browns to refuse. Keep in mind here, the Browns are a hard no. They're still telling teams they have no interest in trading Myles Garrett. If he were to become available, several teams will be in that. Maybe the Eagles will be one.
Sure sounds like Howie's got a Godfather offer in his back pocket that if he needs to pull it out.
Yeah, he don't want to strengthen your he don't want to strengthen your opponents. So yeah, Howie's gonna make some things happen. It's gonna be interesting to see how, if that does play out, how it plays out. You know, because you don't want to strengthen your competitor in the division. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and also it kind of leads you to, I wonder how the Eagles assess their biggest threats next year in the NFC. I mean, they might think that the Commanders with Garrett are their biggest threat. They happen to also be in their division and have to play him twice a year. I don't want him to end. Like, if Myles Garrett ends up in the AFC somewhere.
You okay with that?
It'd be awesome if he's here because he's an all-time great player. But the Eagles just won the Super Bowl without him. I don't think they need him. But If it's here or Washington or Detroit, that's a different story because then he can block the Eagles from getting back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it could be a whole problem. I got what you're saying. Yeah,
huge problem.
Yeah.
But It does feel like Washington looms as like the team that's ready to be the most aggressive. They have a ton of cap space. They have a quarterback. They can't even pay if they wanted to for two more years. So they have him cheap. That feels like the team. And it feels like Howie knows it, Kyle, that they're going after him and he may have to put the block up.
Yeah, and I'm nearing the point of whatever it takes to get Myles Garrett here, because it does sound like Josh Sweat's leaving. You made the point earlier that, you know, some of these defensive free agents are going to go. The makeup of the defense is going to look a little bit different.
Yep.
And by the way, even the whole, like, we just won the Super Bowl thing doesn't jive with me going into the next season. We can't rest on our laurels. We need to be ahead of, you know, the counterpunch to our punch from last season. And, I mean, like, Myles Garrett, to me, is the best defensive player in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if you pair him with Jalen Carter, like, oh my.
That's a problem.
They're healthy all year. It's hard to even picture us losing a game. Like, that's that dangerous to me. Well, on that defensive line.
It's one of the best combinations of like interior and outside
like
pass rusher that I could think of in the last 20 years. I mean, it's like it's that great of a combination. It's a matter of the cost. We had Elliott on earlier, and he seemed to think it wouldn't cost that much. I think he might be off on this for this reason. Bidding wars push everything up. Like, maybe it's reasonable to say a 1 and a 2. But that's cool, but if the Commanders are offering a 1 and a 2, you have to beat the offer. Like, bidding wars with 3 or 4 teams, Hugh, they could push that thing up a lot.
Yeah, and that's what you're trying not to do. But I'm thinking that if Howie's thinking that he's going to get Miles, if he wants Miles, he has this absolute – he has a number, but he also has this absolute number where he's going to go to in order to get that guy and keep the Commodores from getting him.
Well, the other part is you got to convince the Browns to actually do it. Because the Browns right now seem like they're playing hardball.
Playing
like,
hardball.
Because it's crushing.
We don't want you to leave.
Of course not. I mean, he's the best defensive player that the franchise has probably ever had. I mean, you think about the Brown stars over the years, they're more the offensive players. The Ozzie Newsome, Jim Browns.
Who's the guard? The guard that's about
Joe Thomas.
Joe.
Yeah, the stars they've had, and it hasn't been that many, but they've been more offensive guys. I mean, this is probably the best defensive player they've had in the history of their franchise, which is two iterations. They don't want to let him go.
Yeah, they don't definitely.
But if he – and we saw him at the Super Bowl. Remember when the afternoon show tried to start recruiting him?
Yeah.
He looked to me like someone who thought – he was a free agent. I mean, he was not walking around like he was under contract from the Browns. He would go on any show that asked and talk about going to that team.
Oh, yeah. He was he's tired. He's fed up. That's what you call fed up. You're just tired. You're just ready to go.
I think there's very little chance he's a Brown next year. I think that Band-Aid is being ripped off, and the Browns are just in denial right now. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Let's go back to the phone lines here. We have Paul in Berlin's up. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, Paul. What's up?
So, you know, they're talking about banning this push, and I say go for it. Be careful what you wish for, because, you know, they're saying it's a rugby player, whatever. Well, we have a rugby player, and I say give the rock to Mailata, and let's see what he can do with it.
So, but who's blocking for Mailata if Mailata's running the ball?
You bring John. He was an adequate backup at tackle. He could make a block. And who's stopping Mailata, honestly? I mean, and he can carry the ball. He's very athletic as a rugby player. So I say give him the ball.
Hugh, has your mind changed from earlier? Because it's our second Mailata run the ball call.
No, I mean, I've heard it. I respect your position, but no. No, I mean, I hear your rugby stuff. No.
Well, I like the idea of giving it to Saquon. We'll just give it to him.
Yeah. I don't know. I just since we've had Mailata, I've been dying to see him carry the ball.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have. Well, I mean, it's like you said, it's the background, and he's a great athlete.
Yeah, and you see some of the more rugby plays, man. He's a load.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
It'd be fun. Look, it'd be fun. I think that's more of, and Paul, we appreciate it. That's more like a trick play, like a one-time shot.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him going out for a pass play.
I think it was, 3 years ago now? Didn't Lane catch a touchdown? I think it was the 2021 season against the Giants late in the season. I feel like it was around Christmas. I think Lane Johnson caught a touchdown pass. So, I mean, yeah, that'd be fun, but that's not a strategy, like, to do over and over.
Nah, I don't think so. I just want to see it. That's more like on some Ben Johnson stuff.
Yeah,
you
trick
know,
play.
Trick plays type deal.
Yeah, like the Eagles run this
when you're
play.
When you're a dominant force up front, you ain't got to run a whole lot of trick plays.
Well, you don't, and the Eagles haven't had to because they've been a highly successful offense, and this tush push has been near automatic for 3 years, but now there's a lot of pushback to keep it. Now let's talk to Jim, who's up on WIP. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, guys?
Good, Jim. What's up?
I've been listening for a while about this tush-push things, and one of the things that came to my mind is that basically it's a quarterback sneak with getting help from whoever is in the backfield, pushing him forward, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, back in 2005, the NFL approved a rule change that allows offensive linemen or whomever to go downfield, let's say if a receiver catches the ball 10 yards deep, and push him from behind. So trying to change the tush-push would involve making another change that has been in effect for the last 20 years or so. You follow me?
I'm following. Yeah, because this was – I remember when that happened, when they changed it. I feel like, Jim, the last few years you see this more. Maybe it's because we have the tush-push here, but I feel like a lot of games I watch, I see what you're talking about, where a guy will run down the field after someone makes a catch and then, like, push him forward a few extra yards.
So how is that any different?
It's not.
It's not. So, therefore – if they would conceivably make a change on what we do, they'd have to change the other because it wouldn't be consistent.
I agree. Jim, actually, I think if this does happen, if we actually get to this point, that's the way they'll change the rule, and they'll spin it as this is not about the Eagles. It's not the tush-push we're banning. We're banning the pushing from behind anywhere on the field.
Well, that's the only way they could do it. You're right.
That's the
only way they could do it. And I can't imagine that would get a whole lot of support, but who knows? You know, you just don't know. Anyway, thanks very much.
You got it, Jim. Appreciate that. How about Jim? Jim brought the facts. 2005, they changed that rule. So when you were in the league, Hugh, you couldn't do that. You couldn't run up and push an offensive player. In 05, they changed the rule, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the tush-push kind of evolved off of that. Because when I think of the tush-push, there's a few elements, right? You have the offensive line getting really low, right? The kind of the burrowing underneath.
Low man wins.
Then you have Jalen picking his spot for where he's going to like hide and go underneath.
Yeah.
But then the last element is, and it's been a lot of Goddard and Saquon this year, pushing Jalen, like the last
push-tusher.
The tush-pusher. That part of it, that only was allowed since 05, like the pushing from behind.
And they're taking advantage of it. So I don't think they're going to change too much of this, man. It's a much ado about nothing, in my opinion. But it's just crazy how many people are adamant about how they want this to change. It's just, you know, it's a lot.
Feels like sour grapes a little bit.
A little bit. And when you talk about the people that have done it, it's like you got skin in the game. Like for me, the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, Coach McDermott, that one right there is perplexing. Because it's like, dog, you tried to do it. You did it. You did it. And you did it in a moment of a game where it didn't work for you. Now you want it to go away. So what you going to do? All them other 12 times that it worked for you. What you going to do then? You know, you got – and you think it would work because your quarterback is a big dude. But no, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're actually most of the time pretty good at it. I would say the Eagles and Bills are the teams that use it the most effectively. But even McDermott today going and saying, yeah, I don't know about this.
He and his feelings.
Yeah, he is. Well, him and a lot of the guys in the NFL right now. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We'll finish up with your calls on the tush-push potentially being banned. If you could pick two Eagles free agents of the Big Four to come back here, Sweat, Becton, Williams, Bond, who would you go with? Plus, more on the likelihood of the tush-push being banned. How likely is it? Is it kind of likely, not likely at all? We'll hear that next. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, right here, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Coming up at a half hour from now, a little crossover with the afternoon show, as we'll all lead you into Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni speaking at the NFL Combine. So just to update everyone what we've seen and heard so far today. Raheem Morris, head coach of the Falcons.
Hater.
Sean McDermott, head coach of the Bills.
Hater.
They're joining hater Brian Gutekunst, who's the GM of the Packers. All anti-tush-push here.
Haters.
A lot of haters out there. And it's got us talking about the idea of, all right, if this happens, is it a big deal to the Eagles? Hugh and Kyle think it is a big deal. I think it's something they could overcome. Like, I want the play to stay because I don't think it's a huge deal anyway, and it just seems ridiculous to ban it. But I think the Eagles would overcome no tush-push next year. But how likely is this, right? Like, is this actually going to happen? So I'll let you know this. Before today started, if you had said to me, Joe, what do you think the percentage chance is the tush-push is out of the NFL next year? I would have said, I don't know, 5%? Not high. That number's up a little bit today. I mean, just hearing Morris and McDermott.
It's kind of the hater.
Hater convention?
The hater convention that's in it.
You got to keep that mic on.
Yeah, I'm doing too much over here. Got too much going on. Yeah, it's like you can't be a hater. You can't be doing stuff like that, man.
But it does feel like the can of worms is open a little bit in the NFL now.
Well, it feels like it's a little uncomfortable because I didn't know that many people were against it.
So I didn't either. So let's listen to this last night. This is Mike Garofolo talking about it. This was last evening before all this, kind of the idea of what's the temperature around the NFL about this. And they gave off, Garofolo did, that he didn't think it was that popular to ban, but now things might be changing. Here's Garofolo on the Tush Push.
The Commanders jumping over the pile is a Commander's problem. It's not an Eagles problem. Right. It's not a health and safety problem. You got to have the discipline to not jump. Yeah, it makes it a little bit harder. And the fact that the Eagles do this so well, if Michael Robinson were here, our colleague here at NFL Network, he would point out that Jalen Hurts almost always falls to the left. Now, please don't show, I was going to say, don't show him falling to the right now. Because Jordan Mailata is the one that really gets the push there. And it's something that the Eagles are good at. And that's not a reason to outlaw a play. Now, if you want to talk about health and safety and say Chris Jones got hurt in the Super Bowl, well, maybe you shouldn't teach that technique and ask him to do that. I understand why they tried to do that. But that resulted in an injury, but that's because a guy was going sideways when everybody else is going forward. So I understand all the concerns, but there's just not enough from a health and safety standpoint, which is how we see rules changes.
See, that's the key, that last point. If there was some data here, Hugh, that a good number of linemen were getting injured underneath that pile, yeah. I think they would take it out. But we don't have that right now.
No, we don't. And the fact that most coaches are inciting, you know, injuries, I think it's ridiculous, especially coaches that are using it. I'm stuck on that. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on the fact that Coach McDermott sat there and talked about the injuries. Mm-hmm. And he kind of backed it up by saying it, you know, there was inconclusive data, but still you threw it out there.
You think Sean's listening to the show? The
I don't care.
Data?
I mean, he'll be all right. Oh, I thought you meant like
no,
he was
like
mad.
No, maybe he does Harvard studies like you.
I got a little defensive.
You did. Got really got defensive.
No.
That was a real, like, I don't care.
No, you know.
What do I care
you know
for?
What I wanted to say. But I'm like, I don't care.
I don't give a something.
Yeah.
You going to be all right over there, man?
You've been around me too long, Joe.
I don't give a shit.
You know what it is, man? I'm a little antsy because moving all these damn boxes and my back hurt.
Here come the excuses, man.
Nothing like the Hugh Douglas timeline of moving. So you arrived here 3 years ago. You finally got
moved in.
You finally got a permanent place, what, 6 months ago? And now it's like this weekend his stuff arrived. So you were living in just like with a bed and a couch or whatever.
And you know what? I'm not gonna lie. I was okay. It was okay because it was simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now you got all this stuff.
Now I got all this stuff. I need to figure out what I'm going to do with all this stuff. And I'm like, as I open one box and I'm like, oh, I'll be done with this box. Then I open another one. It's a bunch of other stuff. And I'm just like, man, you know what? It's a lot of stuff.
Do you remember or is it like a surprise you open the box? Like, ooh, what's in here?
You know what the biggest surprise was? It's like I have, and you probably don't remember. Remember, you probably mix CDs.
Oh, and you would make your own?
No, like those, a few of those. But I have, back in the day, we used to go out, like to go to clubs or whatever. People would hand you like their mix CD.
Oh, they'd make it.
They would make a mix CD. Yeah. And I have a bunch of those. I have like some old school. As a matter of fact, for Throwback Thursday, I might post a couple because DJ Jazzy Jeff, if I don't know if he's listening or not, but he gave me some mix CDs that I still have to this day. And I'm like, wow. It's just, you know what it is? It's like opening up one of those time capsules.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of stuff has been in storage for a while. Saw some old jersey. I got a 610 WIP jersey.
A few years ago, we did something called like the WIP garage sale, and we auctioned stuff off for charity that people would buy, and then I forget where it went to. But people would love a 610 WIP jersey.
No, do you know what I found in my coat? And I posted it to y'all, and y'all probably didn't notice it. The first Super Bowl.
Oh,
when it was at the VIP thing that I got from the station.
You went to Fridays.
Yes.
I saw it.
It was at the old Fridays. And I was like, wow. It's one of those things, man, that when you open up stuff that you haven't seen in a while, you look at it, you're like, wow. First of all, you're old. I'm old.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's like, you know, just you remember immediately the memory of that item.
Of course.
So that's pretty cool. And I got, you remember, y'all won't remember this. Remember the old CD cleaners?
Oh, yeah, I do remember CD cleaners. Yeah,
I have one that's actually brand new.
CD cleaner?
I have a box full of anime VHS.
It's 2025. What are you doing with that?
I have a full box of DVD anime and some VHS anime that I got. Let me tell you how long I've had this stuff, the VHSs.
Well, a long time.
When I got drafted by the Jets, and I used to go to New York and go downtown, it was called 40 Deuce. They used to call it 42nd Street when 42nd Street was different. And bought a whole bunch of kung fu movies. So I got all of those VHSs of old kung fu movies. So, yeah, I've had a lot of this stuff for a long time.
Are you planning to get yourself a working VCR and try to watch those kung fu movies?
You know what's funny? I was talking to the IT guys back here, and I have an old gaming computer that I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it, trying to resurrect it. I don't know if they're going to help me. I don't think they can help with the VHS. Okay. That's a little bit too old.
That might
That's a dinosaur.
Yeah, you might have to recycle that one. That might be over.
Yeah, I need to figure it out. But I would like to keep them, but
You're
I don't think
keep
it's...
keep VHSs?
What am I going to do with them, Joe?
Recycle them. If you never going to watch I don't throw them to recycling. I don't know. Kung Fu VHSs?
Kung Fu VHSs.
If we want to know what Hugh's doing with his spare time, Kung Fu VHSs.
I just got a lot of stuff.
No, I mean, none of this stuff surprises anyone listening that you have a box full of Kung Fu.
Old-ass Kung Fu movie watching ass. I'm going to start. You know what I'm going to do when I get home? I'm just going to start posting stuff and let everybody see all the junk that I have.
Everybody was. Maybe it was best you didn't get this shipment of stuff.
Man, I have jerseys. I have a bunch of Pro Bowl. I got a helmet that Jason Taylor signed. I got a helmet from Marco Coleman that was signed. I got a David Boston Arizona Cardinals helmet.
Oh, wow. He was good for a little bit.
Keith Brooking. I got a Keith Brooking. He didn't sign it, but I have a Keith Brooking helmet when he played for the Falcons. Like, it's got a lot of stuff.
It sounds like it. So he was unpacking these days. So if you need to find them, he's watching Kung Fu movies. 215-592-9494.
Shots fired.
Let's go to Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Yo, Joe and everybody was kung fu fighting Mr. Hugh Douglas.
What's going
hey,
on,
Tyler? Man.
Hey, I haven't talked to y'all before the Super Bowl win, but Hugh?
Yes.
Eastbound and down mission was a success.
Yes, it was, man. I don't know what we're going to do next year. You know, we run this thing back, try to run this thing back with the mission. Where is it at next year?
Santa Clara, California. So we got to go all the way west.
Well, I'm going to keep that too.
You could just use westbound and down at that point.
Well, you could do westbound and down. But
do you have another idea?
Feels cheap.
Well, I'll tell you off there because I don't want to get in trouble for this.
Okay. This is California, the fourth time you almost got in trouble today.
Well, you know, California, they got them good greens out there.
Oh, okay.
California dreaming.
Okay, there you go. The mama, was that the mama's
and the papas?
Yeah.
All right, we're California dreaming,
California
Tyler.
Dreaming.
That took us like 12 seconds to workshop.
I'm such a winner. Yeah, we got that. That's what's up. That's bad.
We got to work on that part,
That was bad. Living in this big blue world.
Sorry, Tyler. Go ahead.
Santa Clara, California.
With my head up and out of this space, hitting him.
I'm a B-A-L-L. Okay. This is where the part of the show where it goes off the rails.
Always.
And it's only Tuesday.
Somehow happy hour starts at 1 o'clock for our audience.
It's only Tuesday.
Yeah, it is. All right, go ahead, Tyler.
Look, I'm gonna keep it to 3 points real quick, y'all. First of all, Hugh, I'm lockstep with you. Got to bring back Bond. Got to bring back Becton. All right? We got young Thundercats who can replace Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, especially if there's talks of getting Garrett. Garrett and Carter on the other side of that line would be dangerous.
Oh, yeah,
Tyler. I mean, you talk about the gauntlet of road games that the Eagles got to play next year against playoff teams from this past season. I don't think any of those teams would want to see those two barreling down at their quarterback. So that's the first point. The second point, I'm in lockstep with Dustin in the Northeast on that caller, Brian, who we thought might be an undercover Packers fan, because talking about deferring to handing it to Saquon on the goal line, when you got a play that has been almost as unstoppable as any play in the National Football League, you got fans right now being so Jekyll and Hyde that, if you keep giving it to Saquon, he might get hurt or we're giving him too much work. And then you got people saying, those aren't real rushing touchdowns that Hurts is getting. You play to your strengths. You have the best offensive line in the National Football League. Of course you're going to do that. And our offensive line – throughout the playoffs, other than Juergens being hurt in the championship game, was healthy. So it's not as if this play is causing more guys to get hurt. Other guys are risking injury on the defensive side of the ball because they can't stop it. And that's what's so egregious, is that you have teams like the Bills, who we go to Buffalo next season and play them, who don't want to deal with the play, even though they see the play only once every 4 years, unless they get to the Super Bowl. But you can't expect one play to be so egregious to the rest of the league where they can't master it the way that the Eagles have, where just before your show came back on, they had Andrew Perloff on saying that you would have to ban pushing all ball carriers in football.
Yep, and that happens a lot. It happens a lot down the field. You know, they'll throw like a 10-yard pass, and then, you know, the defenders are rallying, and the ball carrier is trying to get the extra yard, and you'll see like a lineman or a tight end come from behind and push him. Like, that happens all the time.
Yeah, and it just shows, Joe, when you have a play like that, that is as unstoppable as it is, I don't discount that they would find, if they did outlaw the play, that they wouldn't find a variation or something else, that they would find something as efficient, because you still have those big boys up front. You got Saquon, you got Hurts, and you got guys that are going to buy in. So I'm not concerned about that. It's just soft if the league decides to ban it, which, to my last point, not to change gears, but on the Sixers, this is why, Joe, I did not want to pay Paul George $212 million for the next 4 seasons. This is a loser's mentality. I've had it. I talked to you and Hugh and Kyle 6 months ago when you were doing who should the Sixers sign in the offseason.
Yep.
And I brought up the fact that you're paying Paul George $145,000 a day for this type of disgrace. We are not a loser fan base. We are not a loser city. And this is the type of attitude that is rubbing off on these other players, not to give max effort, not to put their nose down and go to work. And it's a disgrace for us as the fans to have now, in 2025, we're back in the same purgatory that we were when we started the process at the beginning of the 2012-2013 season.
They are, Tyler. It's a full circle of garbage. I mean, it is. And it's ridiculous, because they did all this to avoid that, and then they've fallen right back into the trap. Tyler, you're right about it, man. We appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Paul George talking.
I just thought it was a bold move, Joe. I mean,
it's rich. It really is.
It's especially when you're a part of the problem. Because they say if you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Mm-hmm. For them to say, what do you think, O.T.? Well, effort.
Yeah, it's an expensive part of the problem, too. I mean, it's an old, expensive part of the problem.
And I just think of him, I mean, it's just rich. And during the All-Star break, him and his wife in the booby pick, when he with the booby pick with his wife. I mean, I'm like, dog. You know what I'm talking about, when he was with his wife.
Talking about Kanye?
No, not Kanye.
Not
wife's
quite
movies.
That. Yeah, that's a little different.
No, but Paul George hanging out with his wife, and it was during All Star Week.
I don't remember the booby pick.
Oh, you missed that.
No, when he went to, he was trying to bite her booby. He was biting her booby.
That one.
You can say booby, can't you? Yeah, the booby's not bad.
You said it four times already. So I mean,
nobody walked in yet. So you know, but yeah, it was a booby pick. And then for you to sit there, I'm just fascinated.
Yeah, it gets stiff at times, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying,
listen,
dog.
Listen, Paul enjoying the All-Star break with his wife, good for him. But you know what it was? It was his first All-Star break as a Sixer. Clearly, he's not on the All-Star team. And it felt like, do we need to share that photo? Like, go home, do whatever you want to do. Go to the beach with your wife. Do you need to share the photo?
He did. I guess he felt the need.
He did. And it obviously stuck in your head.
I'm just saying. It's not the picture didn't stick in my head.
Well, it's in everyone's head.
Well, no, it was more so that you sat there in front of the camera on a night that the coach talked about effort, which you're a part of, and not only that, it's you've been here for a while, and you really haven't played a whole lot, But you talk about team effort. And I just was like, wow. Out of all the things I would have said, I wouldn't have did that. Even though I'm a part of it, I wouldn't have told you that. I would have said something like, hey, we just need to play. We need to do better. It's like, you know.
Well, also him talking about championship culture, he doesn't know what that looks like. This is not someone.
That got you.
Yeah, like say he came from the Warriors or the Heat or the.
that bothered
like,
you.
What are you talking about?
You were like, hold up, dog, you ain't no champion.
You were a Pacer and a Clipper. You didn't want a thing. He played at Fresno State in college. He probably hasn't won a thing since high school. I don't even know if he won in high school. How do you know what a champion is? Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
That bothered you so bad.
What's up, Bruce?
Damn, man. I just tuned in, man, and it was to talk about booty and fascination and look.
Boobies, not booty. Not nobody booty.
I'm looking at the priest.
See, that's look, see, now you got Kyle going.
Okay, well, look, you know, I key in on sometimes I have a thing keying in on keywords, you know. I mean,
most people do trigger words, yeah, trigger words.
Yeah. Right. But look, and another thing, you know, I'm going to talk about the tush push in a minute, but, you know, somebody said something earlier about calling Paul George's podcast P. Mm-hmm. Just made me think. The first thing that came to mind was make me think about going to the bathroom, podcast P. All right, yeah, right.
Yeah, he's a podcasting. He's doing his thing.
Oh, my God.
He's more of a podcaster than an NBA star, unfortunately. I mean, that's the reality right now.
It's disgusting. But look, I'm going to leave him alone, leave that alone, and jump on this, you know, these whining, crying babies about the tush push. Here's what I think. I don't think that the tush push is going to go away. You know what they should do? They should evaluate it from an injury standpoint. And I bet you, if you go to the regular, okay, so I wonder how many linemen get injured off of the regular, you know, like the short yardage stuff.
I guarantee you,
what they would do is like, you know what? You want to cry about this? Let's break out. Let's do some science. Let's do a comparative analysis of short yardage situations versus the tush push. And I bet you will probably blow them out the water and shut them the hell up about this tush push.
It might, but, yeah. I mean, it sounds like a Harvard study. Maybe we can get Hugh and then some of the data. Yeah.
I did that already.
You did the data? Yeah, okay.
That does sound inconclusive. Yeah.
Hugh's in the lab working the numbers.
Work the numbers every chance I get.
Yeah, work the numbers. You know, I'm throwing in a little my business speak about comparative analysis. Let's get fancy and funky with this thing. But anyway, here's what I think the Eagles should do. And they actually did it a couple of times, and I actually caught it, right? They can actually improve on the tush push, come up with variations. I don't know if you all caught a couple of plays, but they ran a couple of plays with success involving Saquon, and I think it may have been one of the tight ends. I can't remember exactly what the games were. They did it two or three times where they actually lined up in a formation, and they ran another play.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they had the bomb at one point. And Bruce, we appreciate the phone call. They threw the bomb that they didn't connect on. That was one of the playoff games. But, yeah, they've done it, and they have the trip. But they probably have more in their back pocket. 215-592-9494. All right, wait, your phone calls. And a little crossover with the afternoon show as they will join us leading right into the press conference with Nick and Howie around 2 o'clock on Sports Radio 94 WIP.